For this segment of the How We Believe series, we're visiting about the book titled The Treasure Hidden in a Field. The section we are visiting about now is the revelation of God. I'm Alan Pearness, and I'm visiting with Yoko Hopsari. Yoko lives together with his wife in Minnesota and is a member of the Rockford congregation. Welcome, Yoko. Thank you for having this visit with me. The subsections that we will visit about are titled Jesus and the Scripture and the Reformation in the Bible. So I will read the key points of these sections. They are found on pages 23 through 24 in the book Treasure Hidden in a Field. Jesus and the Scripture. Jesus honored and used the Scriptures throughout his life. As a child, he discussed them in the temple, and during temptation, he answered Satan with God's word. After his resurrection, he explained how Moses and the prophets pointed to him. Scripture was fully authoritative to Jesus, and he is its fulfillment and center. Then also, let's read the points from the Reformation in the Bible. During the Reformation, Luther and others restored the Bible to its rightful authority over church traditions and human teachings. Scripture alone became the rule for doctrine. This also led to the teachings of salvation by faith alone, by grace alone, and through Christ alone. Luther emphasized that God is truly known not merely through creation, but through Christ crucified. So when we have these sections together, I'm thinking about how Christ, of course we can't put Luther into Christ's shoes, but we can also accept that Luther was serving with the message of the gospel after he had heard and believed, that he had the Holy Spirit in his heart, and he did the work of, as we even say, that the work of the Holy Spirit is the work of Christ today, that it continues in the congregation through the work of the Holy Spirit. So that we're not putting Luther into Christ's shoes, but we also recognize the place of the congregation, that Jesus has given the authority to his living congregation to preach the gospel. And I noted in even reading these sections together how Jesus' respect and authority of the scriptures that he honored, of the Old Testament scriptures, and how he revealed them even in his time, that they pointed to him, and he stood up in the synagogue and he spoke of how even this letter of Isaiah, it spoke of him specifically that day. And it's a remarkable matter to consider when Jesus would be reading this letter of Isaiah, or this prophecy of Isaiah, and to say authoritatively as the Son of God that this is what, basically, he's saying this is what Isaiah saw. He saw this moment that we are living right now, and this is what he was recording. And I find that to be so interesting for me, that Jesus used this word of God, this scripture that had been recorded centuries before, that he didn't deviate from it. He read it completely. And then he was able to say that this is the exact moment that Isaiah saw. Do you have any thoughts, Yoko, on, or any examples that have come to mind regarding Jesus and the scripture?
It is very clear how Jesus, even logical, how Jesus saw the Word of God, because he was God. And the Bible describes him as the Word himself. So our discussion about Jesus and the Word is almost like we're talking of the same thing. Jesus was the Word, and the Word of God was Jesus' Word. Jesus said himself, I and my Father are one. And the Spirit comes from both of them. It's because Godhead is one entity. And that's so difficult for us to understand. But I would say, in some ways, it's easy to believe. Just put them all together and let them be all together. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. And if we accept that, then Jesus' word and God's word are the same. No wonder why Jesus used the God's word when he battled the heavy battle against the devil, when he was tempted in the wilderness. If we only think of fasting for 40 days, I have tried to fast during a few days in my life, one day at a time, or a few hours at a time. And it's not easy. So the battle was, again, something that we may even not fully understand. And Jesus used God's word in that battle, even when he was so weak that in a human sense, he almost fainted. He was so hungry, he still used God's word to battle against the devil. So Jesus and the word of God, in some sense, we could say they were one.
Yeah, that's a very interesting picture, because one of the examples that Ulias uses is the two men on the road to Emmaus and how they were tormented by the events of Easter and how they saw Jesus suffer. And in their minds, they thought that, oh, we were so hopeful that Jesus was the one to restore Israel. And Jesus was walking with them and they didn't recognize him. But then when he began to speak of the word of God, they saw the comfort, or they heard the comfort from Jesus, but then they also experienced the comfort of Jesus being with them. So that the words and the word that Jesus spoke of was the prophecies of this happening. But then the word was with them. Jesus was with them traveling also, that they were inseparable, that the comfort was not in the exact words that he spoke, but it was also in this, that Jesus was with them speaking the word of God. So they experienced this comfort, and he revealed himself to them. And when it came time, when they stopped for the meal and were going to stop for the night, and he broke the bread, that then they were able to see that this was Jesus who was traveling with them. But their summary of the day's events, or that those hours that they spent walking with Jesus, was this: that did not our hearts burn within us when they experienced how Jesus opened the word of God for them? And Jesus has left this authority in his congregation today, and we experience the same comfort when the word of God is opened by the Holy Spirit. And when we can sit in the bench and we can hear that, yes, this is how I believe. And this is how Jesus walks among his own today, is that he has left us with the comfort of the gospel. He has left us with his living word in his congregation. So we experience how Jesus and the word are one, that we don't have to separate. We don't have to try and find any way to separate them. And when we think of how this is applicable today, then we take great comfort today.
I can't help but think, if these two disciples who witnessed this miracle in Emmaus, if they could visit with this Ethiopian eunuch, They would all agree how our hearts burned in us when we heard on our way. I think the Ethiopian eunuch felt exactly the same feelings. He didn't speak with Jesus, but Philip spoke to him about Jesus. As you said, when we sit in the bench, service bench, and God opens the word to the minister and to us, we say, oh, this is so clear. Why have I ever doubted that this God's word speaks to me so clearly? And I want to believe it, and I want to keep it, and I want to remember it even in the difficult days. But we also see how easily we lose sight and forget than those two of our dear brothers on the way to Emmaus, how you described how they had lost their hope and their eyes were closed. Temptations, sins, and doubts, they cloud our vision, and we lose sight. But the Word of God wants to open it back to us, and that's why we go to services.
Yes. And I think of another person who would take great comfort and who would join this group is Luther in his time too, when he received the grace of repentance, when he was able to believe that the gospel belongs to him also, that he didn't have to only understand with his own mind about the forgiveness of sins, but he could believe it for himself, and that it set him free from all of his burdens. And then when Luther began to work in this God-given time that he was given to work, in the history books we call it the Reformation, and it was an important time in human history. And Luther worked in this way, where he showed and was able to, through eyes of faith, he was able to return to these very important principles that became the principles of the Reformation, that by scripture alone, or by faith alone, we are able to be acceptable to God in the teachings of our salvation, by grace alone and by Christ alone, that these became the principles. And these were founded on the Word of God, and we're able to return to the teachings of the Word of God. I have never looked at the time when the Roman Catholic Church would have added into the Bible the apocryphal writings, but they aren't in the Bible that we use today. And I don't have more thoughts on that specifically, but this, that how the respect that Luther had of the canon, the Word of God that was put together in the Bible centuries before, that he returned to this place of respect for the Word of God. And when we think of God's congregation today and how we endeavor in the same way to respect the authority of the Bible. And I'm wondering, Yoko, when we think of how do we respect the Word of God today in our congregation, in our gatherings? Do you have any thoughts on this from even Luther's time to our time, of how we continue to respect this authority of the Word of God?
I think it is part of this foundation that God has given to us, that we need something stable, something unchanging. And when we live in this time where we learn so many new things, develop new methods, just think about how we sit both in the comfort of our own homes, and we have this discussion through a computer connection, just like we would be sitting in the same room. So much has changed from the time of the early church. God provided us a solid foundation in his word, unchanging word, which we can read like they read, and believe and take comfort in that. That's one of those wonderful gifts that God has left to us, that we could keep faith.